Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I am Bob Inyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
Fred, this is so fun. We're doing Real Science Friday week, and we are up to show number four.
Show number four on Real Science Friday week.
Yeah. And I would love it if we could go to astronomy, because there is a fun article in this Answers in Genesis magazine. Their magazine is called Answers.
It's published, that's appropriate.
Answers. It's published by Ken Ham and their ministry with the Creation Museum and all in Kentucky. And Fred, this article is about exoplanets and how they're unpredictable.
Well, wait a minute. Planets? I thought you mean planets outside of our solar system?
That's right. We have planets circling our sun. We call them Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune.
Uh-oh, I didn't hear the word Pluto.
Poor Pluto.
Poor Pluto.
Pluto's been
discarded.
Voted
off
of the island. Pluto's been voted off of the island. So Pluto's no longer a planet. And, you know, I don't like change, but it seems that maybe that was reasonable. It's a big chunk of rock with its moon, Charon. And maybe it shouldn't be a planet. I don't know.
Okay, well,
we have eight planets, and I like the number eight.
Why is that?
The number eight is a number for eternity, new beginnings, everlasting. Seven is completion, like there's 7 days in the week, and the eighth day is the beginning of a new week, and those new weeks go on forever.
Forever, okay.
And there are seven notes in a scale in Western music, which I like to my
seven
ear.
Seven colors in the rainbow?
Seven colors in the rainbow, and then they repeat. Seven notes in the scale, and they repeat in a musical scale. So eight, we even have the number for infinity is an eight laid on its side and squished down a little bit.
That's right.
The name Jesus, if you look at the gematria of Jesus in the Greek.
Gematria. Now, what is that,
Jesus,
Bob?
Gematria, we mentioned it recently, is when every letter in an alphabet has a numerical value. And that's true of the Greek language. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta. You know, they're 1, 2, 3, yep, and so on. And then it jumps around a bit. And so Jesus, if you take those numbers and add them up, just in Jesus, it comes to 888.
Oh, fascinating.
888, eternal life. The eternal God created us to live forever if we trust him. So the universe, studying the universe, it's just really fun. I like it.
Well, yeah, so it turns out that we've actually discovered planets. Now, we haven't observed them directly out in the, you know, out in the universe.
How do scientists, I haven't done it personally, Fred, but I could read their journals. How do scientists find planets orbiting other stars?
Well, you know, these planets, there's gravitation. You've heard of that, right?
Gravity.
Gravity. Mm. So, yeah, you've heard of gravity, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So planets gravitationally will tug on the star that they're circling.
They'll tug on
it. They'll tug on it.
So that the star wobbles.
It wobbles. That's right.
Yeah. And you could really tell when a star is wobbling if it's a pulsar.
A pulsar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, pulsars are really super dense, like the crushed core of a star. And in fact, they're so dense that supposedly, I haven't measured this personally, but a teaspoon of matter from a pulsar would weigh over 1 billion tons.
My goodness.
A
teaspoon.
Heavy. That's heavy.
That's really heavy, Bob. That's heavy stuff.
It's heavy, man.
So have you heard of SETI? You know what that stands for?
Search for intelligent
Search
Yodas.
For extra. Search for extraterrestrial
intelligence.
So did you ever see the movie Contact?
No. Contact is about SETI?
It is. It's about SETI.
All right.
Okay. And the movie starred Jodie Foster. I can't remember the scientist she played.
All right. You know, she played a scientist.
Yeah. And so anyways, you know, SETI, the real SETI, they detected this signal coming from space, and it was repeating. And they're like, oh, we found aliens, and they were all excited.
Intelligent life. We found intelligent
life. Intelligent life, because, you know, they want to find intelligent life out in the universe.
Right. Like if they find bleep, bleep, bloop, bleep, bleep, bloop, bleep, bleep, bloop, they'll think they found evidence of intelligent design, and they find scientists with brilliant brains to design computers and radars, yes. And they say, well, there's no intelligence there.
Proves evolution occurred elsewhere.
Yeah, we're looking for bleep, bleep, bloop, bleep, 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 bloop, and then we'll prove intelligent design. And a human mind is not evidence of intelligence. These guys are stupid.
Yeah. SETI detected these repeating signals, and at first they were all excited, thought they had detected aliens, but really they detected pulsars.
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 So because they're so dense,
scientists?
No, the pulsars, as they rotate, they have these powerful magnetic fields that produce radio waves, and they appear to pulse, and we call them pulsars. So we know the speed that they rotate, and it's very accurate because they're in empty space, and so there's no friction essentially around them. An object in motion will keep going in motion until some other force acts on it. So they're spinning and spinning, but then we detect a wobble in the spin, a periodic wobble, and that is evidence that there's something influencing it gravitationally.
That's right. So but they found the existence of these planets.
Exoplanets.
Exoplanets is what they call them.
About 500 so far.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what's really been shocking to them? The very first one they discover, it was a large gas planet, and it was really close to the star that it was orbiting.
It was really close really to close. The star, because mathematically, based on the wobble,
you could
figure out what is causing the wobble.
That's right.
So this big gas planet, giant, like Jupiter?
Kind of like Jupiter, yeah.
Like Jupiter, was real close to the star?
Yeah, and it was a shock to the secular astronomers. So
it's always a shock.
Everything they predict is always a shock to them because they're always wrong.
We always got to throw out our model and start over again, because they have a model of how planets form orbiting a gas disk, a cloud, and as it's condensing, it forms a star, and then the leftover parts form planets, and they came up with that, and they said, so this is how planets form.
Yeah, and they thought part of their model is that they'd have these icy cores. Well, that's kind of a problem, isn't it, if you're really close to the sun? Now, there's a planet with a serious global warming problem.
Serious, because it's so close to the sun, it couldn't have a large icy core to attract all the rest of the gas, which is supposed to happen just naturally by gravity.
That's right.
So it couldn't form there close to the sun.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun that the very first planet they discover totally contradicts their predictions.
And Fred, there's a lot in our own solar system that contradicts their predictions, which is really funny because we're right here.
That's right.
And so we didn't have to go to other stars. And there's that fabulous video that I absolutely love, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. And this first one is about the planets of our solar system. It's just so great. Spike Tsaris. You remember Spike.
Yeah, definitely.
And so we highly recommend that video. Highly recommend it. In fact, come to KGov, our website, kgov.com, and click on our store and go into our science department. You get all kinds of fun stuff.
That's right. Another great one, Bob, is the Privileged Planet.
The Privileged Planet.
They even showed that on PBS, which was a shocker, but it was great.
The Privileged Planet, which is evidence that the Earth didn't just randomly end up here in our galaxy because we have this extraordinary place in our galaxy. But, Fred, before that, I want to ask our office staff, even though we're on the air right now, do we have that video, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy? If we have that here at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Friday, we'll find out, Fred.
Okay. It's a great video.
Yeah, it really is great. And
if you don't get that one, at least get Privilege. Oh, here
we got it right
here. Our producer
here
just handed it to us.
Created solar system, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. And this is by Spike Tsaris, Psarris.
That's not any relation to Spike Lee?
No.
I guess that's the first name. Not the
yeah,
last. Okay.
That's right. And so, Fred, these two videos, The Privileged Planet, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy, These are so tremendous.
Oh, they are. These are great videos.
And so, and it helps keep Bob and Yurt live on the air and our Real Science Friday show.
That's right.
So please, if you're interested, either call us up, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, and ask about our science DVDs, or you can go online, kgov.com, or just Google Real Science Friday if you can't remember KGov.
That's right. It'll probably be the first thing in the Google search.
Yeah, that's right. And you could check out our videos, our science books, our Real Science Friday CDs, Fred. We've got them year by year, 2006, 2007, and so
on. Oh, and there's that great debate you had with the Reasons to Believe group here in Denver.
The Age of the Earth
debate.
The
Age of the Earth. They're Christians, but they believe in an old Earth.
Yep. That was really fun.
And you carry the video, but they don't, which
they don't.
I think is an indication of who won that debate, right, Bob?
Yeah, I think so. And actually, it's an MP3 CD audio, but it has all the slides
okay.
on it.
Oh,
and Walt
good.
Brown's book in the beginning. So, Fred, here we are in this Answers magazine about the unexpected patterns, the unpredictable patterns of exoplanets.
And the first one they find, like we said, defied their predictions, and now we found a
one
lot
of
more.
Now we got.
We hundreds. Have a whole bunch more, and did they continue to defy their expectation?
Pretty much everything is not what it's supposed to be. Fred, for example, in our solar system, where God had a special purpose, the planets orbit the sun in almost perfect circles. We do move in an ellipse. Planets in space orbit things in elliptical orbits.
That's right.
Right?
And
not in circles like Aristotle thought. Aristotle was wrong. He was a troublemaker.
That's right. In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But here we've got the word is eccentricity, right? It's eccentric how it.
The eccentric orbits means if it's not orbiting in close to a perfect circle, it's eccentric.
Yeah, so as you start to get away from being a perfect circle, you're eccentric. So you're a square?
Yeah, that would be really eccentric. So, Fred, we have the Earth, the way God made the Earth, and Isaac Newton had this right too. He was
Bible-believing Christian, right?
Yes, yep. Greatest scientist who ever lived. He believed in the supernatural origin of the solar system, the cosmos. And this idea was floated that the solar system formed from a gas cloud that was condensing. This was the old, you know, the Cartesian grid in geometry, Descartes.
Okay.
Floated this idea that the planets formed by a condensing gas cloud. And Isaac Newton, who gave us an understanding of universal gravity, he said, no.
No,
he said,
wrong.
No, that would not produce a system that we have with the sun and the planets orbiting around it. It just wouldn't work. And now we know more and more and more of why it wouldn't work, including that the sun is virtually not spinning, and 98% of the rotational energy of the universe is in the planets, which have hardly any of the mass of the solar system. So there's all kinds of reasons why we know Isaac Newton was right.
That's right.
And that God did it.
Well, and that brings up the conservation of angular momentum.
Ooh.
And that's where as something spins,
something
right?
is
okay,
spinning.
Let's say something is spinning and parts break off. According to that law, those things will spin in the same direction. Right?
Yeah.
So imagine kids on a merry-go-round and you start spinning it really
it.
Fast. Because a lot of times they want you to do that. Oh, spin as fast.
Those things are deadly.
Well,
Fred.
I know it. And, you know,
I grew up with them. They banned them, you know?
Oh, have they
the
really?
The do-gooders all
oh,
over this
man.
Country, all the lawyers. Every time there's a sign that says no climbing in the trees, you know, for kids, I say to my kids, that's because there are too many lawyers in the world. I want to raise my kids so they don't like lawyers. So anyway, yeah, they don't have those anymore, but we would spin and we'd fly off the thing.
You'd spin in the same direction. It's a law of physics.
As you're flying in midair,
yeah.
You'd be spinning in the same direction as that, what is it called, a merry-go-round?
Yeah, so don't try this at home, but, well, first of all, it sounds like you can't anymore. Or
right.
Maybe they've got merry-go-rounds and it says, stay off, you're not allowed to have fun.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But if you put a ball on one in the middle and start spinning the whole thing, the ball starts spinning in the direction that the merry-go-round is spinning, and as it flies off, it will be spinning in the same direction as the merry-go-round.
So why is this a problem for our solar system? Let's just talk about our solar system.
Because the amount of spin energy in the solar system, 99% almost of the mass of the solar system is in the sun. So that means that if we all form from a condensing spinning nebula, gas cloud, 99 or 98% of the spin should be in the sun. But it's not. It's in the planets. The sun is virtually at a standstill. It's got about 1 or 2% of the spin of the solar system.
And we've talked before on other shows about this word missing. We've got something else missing.
We have got 98% of the solar system's rotational energy missing in the sun.
Well, not only that, we would expect from the secular theory of how this solar system formed that all the planets should be spinning in the same direction, right?
Well, the planets should be spinning in the... Yeah, they should. That's true.
The conservation of angular momentum.
The conservation of angular momentum. And, of course, they are all spinning in the same direction.
Oh, they are?
Except for Venus.
Except for Venus. And
maybe Uranus has a bit of a weird axis.
Yeah, Saturn's, I think six of Saturn's moons
are going in
the
wrong direction.
They're spinning in the opposite direction. Now, that's a serious problem for the secular,
Fred,
you know.
The exoplanets?
Yeah.
About 500 of them now. One of them not spinning in the wrong direction because they're too far away. We can't tell which direction the planet is spinning, but they think it's orbiting in the wrong direction.
Orbiting in the wrong direction. Uh-oh, another violation of the laws of physics.
Big problem. And of course,
but that's only
there's
if we...
ways, you know, there's ways to get a planet to spin the other way. There's ways with collisions and all, but it is so they have to go to catastrophism to explain almost everything in our own solar system. They deny catastrophism on Earth. When there's evidence the whole Earth was covered in a global flood and mile-deep sediments on every continent and all that, billions of dead things laid down by water all over the Earth. They deny it here, but everywhere else in the universe, it's catastrophes everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know how they say that there was a global flood on Mars.
Right, where there's no liquid water. Earth is covered. Two-thirds of the Earth is covered in water, miles deep, and they say, oh, it could never be a global flood on Earth.
But I'm still waiting for that Hollywood movie about NASA and a conspiracy with all those SUVs up on Mars causing global warming.
Global warming on Mars. So, Fred, some of these exoplanets, one now, they found one so far that they think might be orbiting backwards.
Orbiting backwards.
In others, they have these highly eccentric orbits.
Yeah, so again, they're not orbiting quite in a perfect circle, right?
The eccentricity of these orbits, the Earth is 1 to 2 degrees out of a perfect circle. Well, some of these, and we could give the names of some of them, but some of them are like 70%
that's a lot
of a perfect circle.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's 40 times what the Earth is doing.
Yeah, and that's Epsilon Eridani B.
That's right. And so secular astronomers expected these planets to have roughly the same eccentricity as we have.
Yeah.
So again, another prediction that they're wrong about.
Are you saying you and I are eccentric?
Eccentric? Well, I'm looking at your head. It's not a perfect circle.
That's true. So, Fred, this is all fun to talk about. And since we are talking about space, it's also neat to think of, you know, the cosmological principle. In fact, there's a few principles that maybe listeners would like to remember the terms because we don't hear them all the time. But there's the anthropic principle, the cosmological principle, and the isotropic principle. And you get some PBS show, Nova, and they say, oh, due to the cosmological principle and the isotropic, we know that it's billions and billions of years old, and this is a squid. Right? They proved it all. But what are these terms, like the cosmological principle? Are you familiar with what is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think that's where, regardless of where you are in the universe, you look out, you observe the same thing.
Yeah, so that if you were 5 billion light years away and you looked around, it would look exactly like it looks from here or from anywhere else. And that means that there's no center of the universe and there's no end to it. There are no edges.
That's right. So the
That's
secular,
the cosmological principle.
Yeah, they claim that there's no center to the universe. They use an analogy of imagine yourself on a balloon as it expands.
On a balloon, and the balloon is being blown up.
And it's being blown up. You could never tell anywhere that where the center is.
And so they're saying that the universe is expanding. That's commonly believed, except not within galaxies, not within stars. And they don't usually add that little detail because
well, there's a lot
really
of details they leave out.
That's true. But, Fred, the cosmological principle, so the way they know that that's true is they sent out probes back in the age of the Roman Empire, and they've gone out to the different quadrants of our galaxy, and they've gone to other galaxies. I mean, we're not talking Star Trek and the Delta Quadrant. The fourth.
Are we talking
quadrant.
Battlestar Galactica?
We're talking Star Wars and intergalactic. I mean, in Star Wars, there's no Federation Earth or anything, right? Star Wars is just, you're out there. They sent out probes from Caesar, and they got out millions of light years, and they looked around, and they said, it's exactly like we see from Earth. Is
sounds
that
like,
how they did it?
Sounds like science fiction. you know what real science shows on our Real Science Friday show of the week?
Yeah.
It shows actually one of the things that we've discovered is this quantized redshift. Do you remember that?
Quantized is a bear from Australia. Quantized is redshifts when stars are moving away from us. We could see the light appears to be shifted to the red on the spectrum, electromagnetic spectrum. And so we should see that all the galaxies in the universe are all randomly dispersed as we look at them.
Yeah,
but that's not the case?
No, that's not the case. In fact, what this shows is if you go out from our galaxy, galaxies in the universe are lining up on concentric circles around our galaxy. It's a pattern.
Concentric circles.
So it's like, imagine looking at a dartboard and we're the galaxy in the center hole, which I never seem to be able to hit when I play darts.
Right.
Then you've got the circles and the dartboard. As you go farther out, imagine galaxies are all lining up on these circles.
Yeah.
And so farther out you go, again, you get the same pattern. You got galaxies lining up on these circles. Now, this stuff's discovered by secular scientists. It's not coming out of,
yeah, right.
You know,
creationist science.
Yeah.
If it were, it'd be more reliable.
It would be much more reliable.
But when the secular scientist, it's called testimony contrary to interest. When they provide scientific observations that go against their favorite theories, that's really extra reliable.
Very reliable, just like we talked about with these planets, that they didn't expect these big Jupiters to be so close to the sun.
So it seems like the Milky Way galaxy is in the center of the universe.
It turns out we are the center of the universe.
Which would be appropriate based on the biblical story, because God's interest is right here on Earth. This is where his only son came to save us from sin and death.
Yeah, I can't emphasize how powerful this evidence is. There's no way this
the
can red be coincidence
shift of galaxies and
tell us how far away they are. It's kind of like the Doppler effect, right?
Yeah.
The train that's coming.
Yeah, and so that indicates that we're at the center of the universe, but this cosmological principle that says there is no center, there's no end, you can't ever get to the edge of the universe, it turns out that that's not held based on scientific observations. That's held based on a philosophical view.
That's right. And, you know, we talked about Privileged Planet. They talk about this in the video.
And we sell that here at Bob and Your Live.
That's right.
The Privileged Planet. You got to see it. In fact, we sell a whole intelligent design collection, 3 DVDs in one package for $49.99.
And they can get that at kgov.com, right?
KGOV. Well, for this special deal, 3-in-1, they got to call us at 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. But they could get all kinds of these great things in our science department at the store at kgov, kgov.com. So, Fred, that's the cosmological principle, which I think is falling.
Oh, it's gone as far as I'm concerned. But, well, here's what's interesting, Bob. I'd encourage the listeners to go out to cosmologystatement.org. Mm. All these evidences that are coming in against these kind of principles and against the Big Bang.
Cosmologystatement.org.
Cosmologystatement.org is signed by a bunch of secular scientists who admit that they got to get rid of the Big Bang theory because it's flat proven wrong.
Okay, so, Fred, let's then talk about for just a moment the anthropic principle.
Anthropic principle, okay.
What's that?
The anthropic principle, Well, it's a word that these evolutionist secular scientists use to try to get out of the problem with how all these things in the universe are fine-tuned for life on Earth.
The universe is so finely tuned. What, a dozen constants?
Oh, at least.
That are, like, for example, the ratio of electrons to protons. If it was different than it is, the universe would be all tweaked out. It'd be a major problem. God is the master mathematician. All these constants of the laws of physics that have been finely tuned to a degree that our own human engineers could not possibly accomplish, like the gravitational force constant, the electromagnetic force, the ratio of electron to proton mass, the ratio of the number of protons to the number of electrons. These ratio of parameters of the universe are so crucial. If they were too large or too small, you would have chemical bonding would be disrupted. For example, the ratio of electron to proton mass, it's fine-tuned to a ratio of 1 in 10 to the 37th, 10 with 37 zeros. And that's one of the least finely tuned.
One of the least.
And so you've got a dozen different things that have to be exactly right for the universe to exist and for life to exist as it does. And how is it that they're all tuned that way? How is it possible they answer it with the anthropic principle?
That's right.
So what's the anthropic principle?
What is anthropic principle?
Yeah.
It's basically that because we are here and we are alive and we exist, that explains why everything's fine-tuned.
It's a circular argument. They're saying, look, it's not amazing that all these phenomenally difficult conditions all happen to have occurred. That's nothing amazing at all because we're here, and so it obviously did occur. That's a circular atheistic argument.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned a lot of the other finely tuned things in the universe or our solar system. Like, you know, we talked about these planets that are like hot Jupiters.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't its size mean something for our solar system?
The size of Jupiter protects the Earth, you know, the Jupiter family of comets, and from asteroids. And
it sweeps these things up.
Yeah.
And also, it's the right size to stabilize Earth's tilt. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
So there's always so much to learn.
And the moon is in the perfect place to keep our oceans alive with the tides. And the sun is 400 times further away than the moon. But because the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, there's this perfect ratio that opens up a world of astronomy to scientists because of all that.
And the sun is a perfect distance from Earth.
From Earth.
It's the right color.
We'd be
the right
freezing
mass.
Or boiling. And it's so fun,
it is.
Fred.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And isotropic, that's fun to talk about too, but we ran out of time. So stay tuned in to Real Science Friday with Bob Enyart and Fred Williams. Our website, kgov.com. Our phone number, 800-8-ENYART. Please help us. We need your help to stay on the air.
Is there evidence that God exists? In Bob Enyart's video seminar, Does God Exist?, Bob presents the evidence that God does exist and the evidence that teaches us about God's character. The 2-DVD video set, Does God Exist?, is now available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART and at kgovstore.com. Again, that's kgovstore.com. Hey, science fans, now you can have all of the Real Science Friday shows on MP3 CD from 2007, 2008, or 2009. Hear Bob and Fred present the compelling scientific evidence that the Earth is young and that there is a creator. Real Science Friday 2007, 2008, and 2009 are each available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART, or you can get the MP3 CDs or the MP3 downloads at kgovstore.com.